By the way, Ticket Text has picked up on your backdoor knowledge comment, John, and they're very curious about that. Anyway, we'll get to some life advice. Dear John Jansen at gmail.com. Sometimes you do it without even realizing it.
There's many times I do it without even realizing it. I'm just glad I've made you all aware of the things that can be funny in this world.
You've poisoned our minds. All right, the first question says, Thanksgiving help, turkey help. Dear John, unlike Costa, I appreciate turkey on Thanksgiving. But this year we want to switch it up and deep fry the bird. Have you ever done it? Any tips to do it right?
Oh, I've done it, yeah. I mean, I've cooked a turkey about any way you could possibly cook a turkey. They're all tremendous. Deep frying it is great. Inject it with whatever type of flavor that you like. It could be some type of butter. It could be a Cajun. It could be a lot of different things. But the one key is make sure you fill whatever you're frying it in with water, dip your turkey, and make sure that you have plenty of room above that water line so that you don't put too much oil in there. You heat it up, and then you put the turkey in, and it overflows. Now you get yourself a gigantic mess, possible fire. I've seen that happen because it's going to boil. It's gonna grow a little bit. So that's probably the number one thing. But then when you take it out, make sure you don't miss one of the great pleasures in life, and that is the crispy skin.
Yes.
Amazing.
Very good. But with that whole fryer advice, that's great backdoor knowledge, John.
Yes, it is. Yes. I know. I would shake my head at that.
Just
shake
your head.
Oh, all of a sudden, Mr. Inappropriate over here. We've
It was a little forced.
All right.
People are asking for it to be a drop. That's why I had to work it in. I did it for those people.
Yeah.
Those people.
In unison.
All of us. All right, this next one is a mac and cheese. Dear John, my favorite part of Thanksgiving is the mac and cheese. Growing up, my mom was the mac and cheese lady. I'm from the South and moved up here for work where I met my now wife. Well, for Thanksgiving, we go to her parents' house. And how do I put this? The food is average at best and the mac and cheese is embarrassing. Her mom really takes pride in it, but it's bland. Basically overcooked noodles in Velveeta. I've told my wife I would like to make it this year, but she's worried I would offend her mom. How should I handle it?
Present it as this is something that was a part of my family, about a part of my childhood. I would like to contribute to Thanksgiving dinner, and I would like to share part of it. Like, she could still make hers. But then the worry
the
is
comparison.
The comparison. And everybody says, this one's so good. Mom, you don't need to make yours anymore. But hey, just say for 1 year, let me bring this one. And that way I can get to contribute. I get to be able, and if they want you to be a part of the family, truly a part of the family,
right?
I think they will be more than open to it. And she may actually be like, you know what? It's one less thing for me to make.
I was going
to
say, I bet the mom would look at it as like, oh, thank you. Because cooking and prepping and preparing for Thanksgiving is a ton of work.
Yeah.
I don't think the mom would be offended at all.
The slippery slope, the cliff that you might be dangling over is there are a lot of traditions at the holidays.
Yeah.
And if this is one of hers that I make everything for Thanksgiving, now that's the dance you got to dance.
I think it's an easy answer. You challenge her to a cook-off, and whoever wins gets the right to make the mac and cheese.
Yes.
That's going to go over well.
Sure. Yeah. What's the relationship you have with Kelsey's mom?
Yeah, I'd love to know that, seriously. I do think when somebody new enters the family, a reasonable person has got to be open to potential add-ons or new traditions.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened several times. Like, I can think of where we don't do exactly what we did when I was a kid. I mean, to stand your ground and be that stubborn is not really fair.
Yeah. No.
This next one, refusing to host. They've had enough.
Oh.
Dear John, I've been hosting Thanksgiving for every year since I bought my house 5 years ago. That includes parents, siblings, spouses, kids, and occasionally some extended family. In total, it's about 20 people. I don't mind cooking, but the massive problem is no one helps. I do all the shopping, the meal prep, the cooking, and the massive cleanup afterwards. Last year, I asked for help. Everybody ignored me. They gave me lame excuses. I'm not good in the kitchen. I don't know how to cook. So this year, I said, enough's enough. I'm not hosting. I've suggested someone else step up. We could split the cost of catering. Cue the drama. My siblings flipped out. They said it's tradition for me to host. My mom called me selfish. My aunt said I was ruining Thanksgiving for the kids because they love coming over to my house. I'm tired of being treated like their personal chef and cleanup crew. But now I feel guilty for putting my foot down. What now?
Well, you shouldn't feel guilty if they're not going to contribute anything.
Who doesn't help with anything? Like, I'm not going to bring a dish to pass?
Right.
A drink to pass?
Or help clean up.
What? At the very least,
yeah. So I understand the burden that it can be financially to host because it's a lot of food for a lot of people. I can understand the burden that it is to cook everything. Mm-hmm. But if they don't mind cooking, then I think the biggest thing is always the cleanup because everybody enjoys this great meal. There's this huge mess of plates that are probably in a different room on a different table. You got to bring it all back into the kitchen. You got to watch it off. And
some stuff's got to get refrigerated. Some stuff's got to get cleaned off and thrown away.
Right. Many, many hands make little work. By actually putting your foot down, maybe they'll realize, well, we still want you to have it, but we'll contribute. Now you got to hold them to it. So it's not just 1 year and then, you know, the next year nobody does anything.
You know what it is? After you eat, everybody's lazy. They don't want to get up and clean.
They don't want to take a nap. I get that.
The last one is the Lions game. Dear John, every year me and my dad go to the Lions game together for Thanksgiving. It's our tradition. Well, this year is my first Thanksgiving with my girlfriend. And yes, John, she's hot. She wants me to meet her family, and they're all excited. I said yes, assuming that it would be for dinner, but they do an early meal. When I told her I can't make it, she got mad at me and claims I'm picking the football over her, and I already committed to it. She says it's a bad impression for me to make with her family. What should I do?
Well, okay, so girlfriend, not married.
Right.
And she's also got to understand this is a tradition that you have with your dad. It's not about the football. And if she can't get past, oh, it's just about the football, that's an easy and cheap way to put pressure on your boyfriend. If he sits down and says, I have been going to this game with my dad for 20 years, since I can remember as a child, then yeah, I think she's got to understand it. I think her family should understand it. If they don't, it's probably not a good fit.
John, I think you're onto something here. You have to out-guilt her. She's trying to guilt you into being there, and you have to go, my poor dad, this is our thing. I'll let him down. You have to out-guilt her. That's the way to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all right, I'll go full dude. Hotness does matter. How hot is she?
Are you willing to lose her? Is that the question?
Yeah. Are you willing to lose her over this tradition? And ask your dad. Your dad
you're going to show her like pictures and go, Dad,
No. I'm sure she's met her dad, his dad.
Yeah.
The dad may say, you know what, son? I think you should go to lunch.
Have you guys ever gone to the Thanksgiving game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a couple times. I was in high school, and I did feel a little guilty because I was holding up the family because they waited to eat. Now, they didn't have to wait to eat either, but, you know, that's a dicey issue for some people, I think. Locally, especially. I mean,
when to eat your Thanksgiving meal?
Yeah, because I think I stand a pretty hard line that the food shouldn't be served till after the game ends.
Oh, 100%. This is what we do in Detroit, right? We watch the game. So if she has a problem and their family tradition is to eat at 12:30, right at kickoff, I think you're going to have more problems down the road because it's just not working out.
There's a lot of people though that do like a Thanksgiving like lunch and then they get the seconds later, or they have to make multiple Thanksgivings, so some people have the early one and some people have the later one.
What time would the game end, like about
3:30?
Yeah, 3:30 or 4. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you eat after the game.
Yeah, you totally eat after the game. And if she can't see that, again, it's just not going to work out.
I love that we align on this. I wasn't sure what your answer would be, because I could picture a Jansen eating some during the game. Maybe you're just...
Oh, appetizers.
Sneaking... what's your appetizers?
Oh, Lisa will make... she's got this hot jalapeno dip that she'll make. They're all, you know, dips. She does like this, I don't know, artichoke one. It's not for me, but it is a fan favorite in the house. I love cheese dips, jalapeno cheese dip, sausage cheese dip. I'll eat all of them.
Gosh, that in front of Thanksgiving, I can only imagine what the next morning's like.
Oh, it's a feast. Oh, it's 12:30. That the snack meal is just as big as the 4 o'clock meal.
So on Black Friday, you're off?
I'm off, yeah.
I'm in.
Heather's off?
Yes.
Yep. Are you here, Tom?
Greg's off. I'm off. So So Stoney's going to have to deal with the smell.
Oh. Well, there is a candle.
There is a candle.
You won't even notice it.
And that is this week's Dear John. Send yours in, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. It's 97.1.
Well, all this month, the YMCA of Metro Detroit wants to say thank you to veterans. All veterans who join one of the 7 area Metro Detroit YMCA locations by November 30th can enjoy their first month free. From state-of-the-art fitness equipment, including e-gym, to group classes, pools, and programs for every age, the Y has something for everyone and for less than $3 a day. Visit YMCADetroit.org to learn more or stop in your nearest Y to show your military documentation to get your first month free as a thank you from the YMCA.
We'll get to Heather's news, but we got some ticket text reacting to Dear John. Before the hour ends, we'll spotlight tonight in Detroit sports. A big emotional night. Texter says, the key to that mac and cheese dilemma, you got to throw a cover. Ask to make two dishes so it's not a direct stand-up comparison.
That's a good call.
That's savvy. Mm-hmm. That's smart. So you go, I'll make the mac and cheese and I'll bring...
Yeah, something off the wall.
Yes, maybe it's not even good.
Well, but you want to make it good.
No,
but
your
something that's not traditional. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, mac and cheese is going to be your specialty.
Like a dessert.
So
bring
else.
A dessert.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. You can never have enough dessert options.
Yeah. Challenge on every level. Yeah.
Just bring your own meal. Just one upper in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
This one says, the Thanksgiving host who is tired of hosting should introduce the idea of a donation box. I think that's kind of tacky, right? Like shaking down your relatives. Oh, fine. You guys don't want to clean?
I don't.
You spin the iPad around and ask for tips?
Well, but I also don't think necessarily that it's not the money. I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the hang up. It is all of the work. It's the time invested.
Yes.
And it's probably more. I mean, everybody hates cleaning up.
Dear John, 1 year I smoked a 36-pound turkey. 12 hours, low and slow. As we hosted dinner for the entire family, so needed a big bird. My mother, scared because she had never had a smoked bird, arrived with a roasted turkey. Boring. How do I communicate that we have the dinner item covered? Don't bring anything. Rob.
We do two. And so we do one in the oven traditional.
Okay.
And then I always smoke one as well. This is another reason why you don't want to have it at noon. You want to do it low and slow. And so we do both. And some of it is my wife had never had smoked turkey before. And I think she was a little concerned that she wouldn't like the ultimate flavor of the smoked turkey. So we've always made two. Plus, we don't get one big bird. We get two big birds.
Texter says, eat at noon. Dessert during the game. Second meal around five or so.
Okay, eat at noon. If it's only going to take you a half an hour...
Scarf it down and then sit on the couch.
Yeah, I want to sit there and enjoy it. I want to enjoy not just the meal, but the conversation. Now, the conversation can't be spoiled if you don't win the game, but there are things you always got to overcome.
Says, are the girlfriend's family not watching the game? Is that a red flag?
Say that again. I was looking at Adam Schefter, who tweeted out just a moment ago that in Penei Sewell's draft, Tom, I know you saw it as well, 2021 draft, he's the only surefire Hall of Famer in that draft.
Yeah, somebody NFC, I think it was NFL personnel said that he was the one surefire Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
In that draft.
And the Lions got him at 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we talked about this, okay, yesterday off the air. I said, look, you have got, and it was in regards to the Wings, and you know, everybody knows they've had no lottery luck. They haven't picked top three during this whole time, which is absolutely absurd. But the lottery luck excuse eventually goes away for Eisenman. And I think it has now. We can't use it. But I did use, you know, the gym and this whole Lions thing. Look, they have everybody in place to do the right job right now from ownership on down. But there is a reality that they've had a little fortune.
Sure.
And the fortune was, and you need fortune. You do. And so I just said to Jim, I go, I honestly believe Steve Eisenman has had no luck. And the Lions did have luck building this. I mean,
you were saying if Chase had fallen instead of Sewell.
No, if Atlanta took Chase instead of Pitts, because that was the bad draft pick there. You don't ever take a tight end at 4. What were they thinking?
Right.
And then Cincinnati's sitting there at 5, and Chase is gone, and they take Sewell.
Okay.
And they had a humongous offensive line. need. I mean, to me, the Bengals win a Super Bowl probably if that happens.
Potentially. And you also threw out the possibility of, you know, an alternate universe where Jacksonville takes Aiden Hutchinson number one.
They were taking him until a week before the draft.
It's a cornerstone player that they would have to do without right now. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff adds up. But
when your GM drafts first round picks, maybe the top 15 players in the top 46 last year, you know, in the branch draft, I mean, that's why you are what you are now. But the building blocks, they've had a little bit of luck.
Sure. Always need some.
But the question was, the guy who wants to go to the game with his dad.
Yeah.
He says, is her family not watching the game? Like, they should be doing dinner later anyway because they should be watching the game. Is it a red flag if they're not watching Lions on Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, it's 100% red flag.
Who's not watching the game on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I mean, and so...
Everybody's got at least an uncle or someone in the family that cares about the game that nobody would care about the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I mean... You're talking about a family that, if you're a sports fan,
yeah,
there's going to be other conflicts down the road.
This is just the first of many. This one says, I learned over the years that my grandma only did the 1 o'clock dinner so the rest of the family could go to their in-laws and other family later. I think that's the reason some people eat so early on Thanksgiving in Detroit. The Lions game has nothing to do with the dinner time.
Well, I mean, everybody has to make a sacrifice at some point.
This one says, we always eat during the game. We come from a farming family. Dinner is your big meal of the day at noon. Supper's a lighter meal in the evening. Andrew and Adrian. It's unique.
Yeah.
This one's, go ahead. There's other ones that says they eat during the Lions game because there's a chance the Lions would ruin the dinner by losing.
See, is that Chapman?
That's a text from a previous Lions generation.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? The cleanup one, or the people not helping and somebody has all the stuff on their shoulders, like, made me think, like, we did this probably 10 plus years ago now. Like, disposable plates and silverware are absolutely mandatory, right?
No.
So you still stick with the traditional.
We bring out the fine china.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we used to do that kind of stuff. And we were just like, this cleanup is so ridiculous. Why are we adding that on top? Because of all the pots and pans and crock pots and this and that.
Well, and some of the other thing that you're washing all of that stuff. Plus, if you're using the fine china, some people won't put it in the dishwasher. So it's hand washing all of it.
And polish.
Yeah. And I understand not everybody has the ability to use dishwasher, but yeah, it adds to the workload.
This is why Stoney has a butler.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
You're making a face.
This is why it's my least favorite holiday. I hate Thanksgiving. I don't hate it. I just like Thanksgiving. It's my least favorite. I mean, there's cleanup at Christmas too, but.
But you guys pull out the fine china, don't you?
No. We pull out the paper plates, the throwaway silverware.
Really?
Yeah.
How many? You don't have any opportunities to pull out the good stuff.
No, it's quick and easy. No. Mm-mm.
Huh.
We don't
host Thanksgiving, though. So.
Well, then that's part of it, too, then.
Right.
Let's get to Heather's news.
All right. So a new timeline has emerged for the delayed construction of the District Detroit. So the 10 planned new buildings and then the building rehabs were supposed to start breaking ground in mid-2023, but that hasn't happened, and it's actually yet to even begin. So during this annual meeting that was held on Tuesday, updates were given about the first three projects of the 10 that are planned. So the first project will be a 10-story, 261-unit residential building. This new building needs to break ground sometime next year to be ready to house students who are going to be attending the University of Michigan Center for Innovation. That's expected to open in time for the 2027 fall semester. So that Clock's should ticking. Be happening pretty soon. Let's see. The next building is a 14-story, 290-room hotel to be built next to Little Caesars Arena. The goal is to break ground at the end of 2025, but that may or may not happen. But that is kind of the goal. And then the next would be this like a reuse of an existing building, a 10-story Fox Theater office building. That's also going to become a hotel, a 177-room hotel. The timeline for this second hotel is about 6 months behind that of the first hotel. And the thing is that the District of Detroit was given a late March of 2025 deadline to break ground on at least one of the 10 projects.
The bar has been lowered so much. You've been given public funds and perks and just build it already. And I think people are more encouraged with Ross involved now, but still got to actually do it.
Should have saved this one for after the dog of the day tomorrow. Dog of the week, yeah.
Yeah, I can repeat it.
Yeah, get that reaction.
Yeah, so the holidays are here, and usually it's like the most wonderful time of the year, right? But sadly, it can also be a time where vulnerable adults are taken advantage of. So to prepare for this holiday season, the Better Business Bureau has released a whole list of scams to be on the lookout for, and most of them revolve around things on social media and different apps that may be offering deals that are just too good to be true. So basically, if you ever get that feeling, a gut feeling like this just seems too good, it probably isn't real. So if you see a product being advertised on social media, but it doesn't sound like a sure thing, you should kind of research the company, do some background. Don't just give them your money. Anything on social media that's like a gift exchange, like, hey, if you give me money or a gift card or whatever it is, we'll give you something in exchange. Don't do it. I'm not saying they're all scams, but that is one of the big scams to look out for. Also, be on the lookout for any holiday apps that may be collecting your information and infecting your devices with malware. Look out for those fake texts about all sorts of things. We don't necessarily get them here with toll roads because we don't have them, but in other states where you have the ability to pay unpaid toll roads over the phone, you get those texts. Yep. You're going to be traveling. Don't fall for it. Anything that's offering free gift cards, probably a scam.
Yeah, free is typically a red flag.
So there's just a lot of things to look out for, but it's the people who, I mean, it's easy for us to say here because I feel like we're pretty aware of things, but there's a lot of people who just, they see something like, oh, this must be real. They had my name, or they know, and they just easily start giving away their information. So just be careful. Look out for those people who may be a little bit older as well. Speaking of the holidays, it's also a time where all of those new heartwarming Christmas movies, holiday movies come out. And there's one in particular that actually has people talking. It's kind of going viral. And I actually just watched this last night. It's called Hot Frosty.
Oh, Hot Frosty.
Yes.
Describe this
to me. It's a Netflix original movie.
What's it rated?
G. There's nothing I'm guessing PG. I have no clue.
Yeah. I have not seen this. Is this like an attractive Frosty the Snowman?
Yes. It's like a different take on Frosty the Snowman, where the snow sculpture comes to life, right? And then falls in love with the woman who put the magical scarf around his neck. But why it's like endearing is because it's cheesy, right? As a holiday, some of these Hallmark movies are.
What you get.
But you also are getting like a taste, like the main actress, Lacey Chabert. She's the girl from Mean Girls. So there's a little like Mean Girls reference in there. Lindsay Lohan makes an appearance, and so there's
layers to it.
Yeah, and it just.
And you liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like an amazing movie, but it was a great background movie. It was heartwarming. It was cute. It was cheesy.
Made you smile.
Yes, it was good. It was cute. But apparently everyone loves it. It's trending on social media.
Number one.
So.
Yeah. All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, big night, emotional night on the ice. It's 97.1. Guys, biggest games, best place to watch is Stadium Swim. Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for all sports fans. 6 pools, 3 different levels, and no matter where you are in that pool, you got a massive view. You got a view of that massive 40-foot tall high definition screen. You can't miss it. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football or all sports, with the swim up bars, the Insta ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. So score your perfect game day spot. There's the cozy day beds, the private cabanas. You can lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. It's Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, circalasvegas.com. John, it's November 21st.
Uh-huh.
Very early in the hockey season. Is Derek Lalonde coaching for his job tonight?
Well, on some level, you'd think they would be every single night. But
you get what I'm asking.
Yes, I get what you're asking because of where they are, how long this has been since the Wings have been in the playoffs. But it's also knowing that they were 1 point away last year. They've started off basically the way that they ended the season, and there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency.
Only Yzerman can answer the question, but it does feel like coming off that road trip, coming back home, couple days off, settle down. It's got to be a better effort tonight, because if it's another one of these 3-4 goal losses, or a night where they're outshot 2-1 or 3-1, and you know, Newsy's putting the lines in a blender and none of it's turning into pressure or shots on net, you would look around and say, if the Bruins are firing coaches, if most teams in the NHL are turning this position over every year or two, why would he keep his job? It does feel like emotionally the crowd will let him have it if it's another terrible performance tonight. It's in front of the home crowd. I'll be there, John. I think Kenny Cott's going to be there too. I think a lot of people like going to hockey games and grew up with this team and thought last year they were getting a taste of what they grew up with, and that the good times were going to be rolling again and the playoffs were going to be not a guarantee. They still had to go out and earn it, but they would be more competitive. And they're in last place right now in the Eastern Conference. And if they lose tonight, I don't know. I don't know that Yzerman's going to fire him, but it kind of feels like that at that point, that was your chance to emotionally respond and get something out of the guys.
Well, it's a chance to recover. Part of it is a chance to recover from the West Coast trip that you just had.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's got to be some self-awareness that whether Steve Yzerman has, you know, put down the marching orders or not, that he needs to win. Like, he's very aware of coaching changes in the NHL. I got to imagine every NHL coach has a heightened awareness of how quick the hook can be.
Yeah, hired to be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so he knows.
I think there's got to be some heightened awareness, and hopefully we see that there's somebody that lights a fire under this team, and it has to come from the head coach.
They have a home game tonight and a home game Saturday. Islanders and Bruins. And if you're going to come home after a West Coast swing and you can't get the guys going, if you can't pull off,
it's off a 2 days rest.
A better
as well.
Effort, yeah. If you can't get a better effort out of your guys, then maybe they have tuned you out. Maybe you have become the teachers from Charlie Brown. Womp 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 womp. Maybe you're trying, and he seems like a nice guy. We've talked to him on and off air, Newsy. But if the team is hearing womp 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 womp, and they're not playing hard for you, if you're not a hellfire and brimstone coach, they may need someone to come in and go, hey guys, we're squandering this season. They may need someone. You got to be careful, John, because you've been in these locker rooms, and I'm sure sometimes guys think they're doing like a Herb Brooks movie quote and everybody's rolling their eyes, but it has to be genuine. There has to be real urgency. The season is slipping away.
Well, but I also think when we talk like this, there's also, do we believe that there is a complacency? Like, I don't think that he's a guy that just doesn't care.
Right.
I think he certainly wants to win, but he's got to figure it out. Like, what buttons do you have to push to make this team play better and ultimately win more games?
Do you think he's coaching for his job tonight? 248-539-9797. By the way, we had some ticket text on some of the Thanksgiving stuff. Heather just said she's un-American, hates Thanksgiving. What kind of psychopath are you?
I know. Hates Thanksgiving.
I took back the word hate.
Okay.
I dislike Thanksgiving.
Dislike Thanksgiving. Don't like Charlie Brown.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah.
This person says, my family and I switched up to paper plates for Thanksgiving because it's relaxing and no one wants to clean up. It's been amazing. I was a physician in Grosse Pointe and told one of my patients we use paper plates, and she almost fainted with disgust.
Ah.
Steve and sure. Carwell. Grosse Pointe. Ritzy.
Oh, come on.
Gasp!
Yes. No, I understand.
It's a stereotype, doesn't it?
It is. It's a stereotype, yeah.
I understand the use of paper plates, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just one that we choose to break out the nice stuff.
Yeah, it depends.
It's preference, but for somebody to, like, they get up in arms, I'm going to almost fainted, you know. Life's too short. Come on. Life's too short to get worried, like, jacked up because you're not using China at Thanksgiving.
Tom, we have Red Wing ticket text too, but where do you stand? Is tonight coaching for your job?
I guess so in the what should be the real sports world, but I don't know if it is in the Yzerman Red Wing world. I mean,
because he seems to operate on a different
question,
level. Yeah,
the fact that this is a question means he should be fired. I don't understand. You see a franchise like the Bruins, who sets a record for most regular season wins, move on from their coach quicker than they've moved on from Lalonde. And it's nothing against them. I only think this is a quick fix. You get the inspiration and the drive and, oh, everybody wakes up because the coach got fired. and 3 weeks from now, you'll still have the same chemistry problems. That's why this team is not as good as last year, because the little pieces that left and the new pieces that came in, the fit isn't the same. I can see it. I think it's clear as day. This doesn't work like last year.
So Gostisbehere and Wallman were two guys on this team last year who could move the puck defensively, transport it out of their own end into the O zone. They were not perfect defensemen. I'm not sitting here telling you they lost all stars, but they did not replace them with guys who can possess and move the puck. So now you got guys in their own end. Their back four is busted up defensively, and it's a bad team right now. And they did lose a lot of secondary scoring from last year, so they needed to be better defensively. And they haven't been. The goalie situation was supposed to be the saving grace, right? Talbot even said the last game's on him. He's played well, but hasn't played consistently. And now they're going to go to Alex Lyon, who has not been very good to start this season. To your point, it's probably only a quick fix, but don't they have to try to do something to shake the system and try to hang in the fight as long as they can to give someone like Edvinson a chance to hit the extra gear as a young player, to get Marco Kasper that extra gear? Don't fall out of the race before the new year. Do everything you can to instill some urgency. I think that's been the issue, is we're on two different timelines here, right? Yzerman's timeline is infinite. And if you question it, there's a lot of hockey fans who go, didn't you know it was a 10-year rebuild? I didn't think it was 10 years to make the playoffs. I was never under the impression it was going to be 10 years to make the playoffs. But there are hockey snobs out there that were a casual fan. You thought they were going to be good 6 years in? Yeah, I think they were going to be better than the worst team in the Eastern Conference 6 years into Steve Yzerman's leadership.
Right.
There should be more urgency.
Yeah, they shouldn't be last in points in the East.
Well, but I also,
you know, that's what they are. Do people realize that?
Well, and here's the thing, is this is a different team than last year. And, you know, it's one of the points you were making is maybe they're not as good. They're not doing the things that they did last year, but that's up to the coach to figure out, okay, I can't just put all of these guys in the same position and expect the same results as last year. I've got to find out how these guys are going to work well best together.
And Jim made a great point about Wallman and Gostisbehere last year. When you have defensemen willing to get the puck into the offensive zone, yeah, they're going to screw up once in a while and turn it over, but the aggression isn't there this year. So it's one less way to enter the zone, and that's the problem. That's too many games I watch are just they cannot get enough puck possession in the offensive zone.
Phone calls, 248-539-9797. Chris in Oxford, what's up? You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Go Green Heather. I am actually despising going to the game tonight just because of the fact that we have been playing so crappy on the West Coast. And I do think Lalonde is playing for his job. And I brought this up before. This is Stevie's 6th year. He's got to turn it around. It shouldn't take 10 years. We should have already made the playoffs, at least the last two. I know we were getting close to last year. I was excited at the end. I liked the effort that they put in towards the end of last year. But this year has been pathetic.
So you're despising going tonight, but you're still going to go?
I'm still going to go.
When did you get your tickets?
I'm a season ticket holder.
Okay.
Oh, so you've been in for a treat all season long.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun.
I'll be there tonight, Chris. Same thing. I'm hoping for better days. I really feel like it's got to be the bounce back today. It's got to be.
I mean, you would think after the road trip, 2 days off to rest, to practice, to evaluate, that there's got to be something better that they show tonight.
Ticket texter, just like you, Costa, I'm in my first year with half-season tickets. I have the Fire Newsy chance ready to go for the third period tonight. Texter says, Wings stink. The game has passed Yzerman by. He's drafting terrible. His free agent signings are worse than terrible. 5 top 10 picks and no star to show for it. Don't give me Mo or Raymond. They're average at best. Mo's a giveaway machine. Fire Yzerman. Tom from Wayne. It's a little further than I'm willing to go. I think Sider's a good player. I think Raymond's a good player. I think he's got some guys in the pipeline I'm interested in, but I don't think we should be waiting forever to see results on the ice.
Well, yeah, when you talk pipeline, you're talking
years.
You know, sometimes it's next year. Sometimes it's 2-3 years down the road.
Okay, we got calls to get to coming up next. I want to mix in something. I have a friend who was down in Tampa and was around the team when they would win the Stanley Cup and even before the Stanley Cup. And he messaged me some thoughts of what he thinks is going wrong in Detroit. So we'll share those coming up next. It's 97.1.
Hey, Thursday Night Football is tonight. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. I'm going to give you a couple same game parlays, one for tonight, one for Sunday. We've got the Steelers at the Browns tonight. Take Russell Wilson over passing yards. George Pickens, anytime touchdown. Najee Harris over rushing yards. A lot of offense there for the Steelers. I think this might be the night that they get going. Lions at Colts. Here's another one for you. Goff over passing yards. Gibbs, anytime touchdown, or Montgomery over rushing yards. You could choose from these or many more that are already pre-built for you, or you can build your own in the FanDuel app. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Great response on the phones and the ticket texts. Is Lalonde coaching for his job tonight? Red Wings come back after a disastrous road trip. They're back home tonight. Chance for a bounce back, settle down, get a win, settle everybody down. But if they lose and it's ugly and they're outshot 2-1, 3-1, you've already seen one coach fired in the NHL. It seems absurd to say this so early in the season, but when teams are already firing coaches and the Wings are off schedule, right? This is supposed to be a team fighting for a playoff spot. They're dead last in the East. It begs the question. I mentioned yesterday, friend in Tampa goes, hey, something's not right there. They should be further along. Texted Moore yesterday with him, and he said, I see the Yzerman stuff getting run. Another name to point out is Al Murray. Who? He ran the scouting department for Yzerman in Tampa. He was also doing that in LA when they built up their nucleus when they went on to win the Stanley Cup. He finds mid-round gems. Guys like Kucherov, Point, and Palat that Detroit has not seen yet. Guys that were drafted in the second, third, and seventh round. He said, and let's not forget, it was Brisebois, the guy who replaced Yzerman, who brought in Shattenkirk and Maroon and stabilized the room, brought in some gritty players like Gaudreau and Coleman to get them over the hump. There's a good chunk of people that give love to Yzerman, but say that they would not have gotten over the hump unless Brisebois came in and made the moves he did. So these are questions as to the lore of Steve Yzerman, the general manager. And there is pressure.
There's pressure. There's got to be pressure. And I honestly think there'd be less pressure if they had just come out and put the expectations out there. Part of the disgust is no one in the organization wants to talk about making the playoffs. Like, so now we're left with connecting all the dots ourselves. Do they really, you know, is there a sense of urgency to, and I know I keep using that term, but when does it arrive?
When does Yzerman feel like his team should make the playoffs? And I know he's been very hesitant to button down a specific date, and there's a danger in doing it. But just generally speaking, Larkin's in his prime. DeBrincat's in his prime. You've paid these guys. Sider and Raymond just got long-term deals. Kane's not getting any younger. But my point is, why pay Larkin if you're not actually thinking you can make the playoffs in the next couple seasons? Last year, this year, and it doesn't look like they're built to do that right now. And maybe the answer is the coach isn't getting enough out of the roster, which is why we go back to Lalonde. The texter says the problem is he is an X's and O's guy, but he's not a red ass. I don't think he has it in him to light a fire under a team, and that's a trait that some pro coaches need to have, especially when the X's and O's aren't working. That's James in Toledo. Texter says everybody does need to calm down. Yes, they're in last place, but they're only 4 points out of the 8th seed. John driving around in his work van. This one says, tired of blaming the coach. He doesn't play. The players need to get ready. They need to play better. It's not happening on all ends. RC downriver. Newsy lost me and his job when we were in the home stretch last year, and he said they didn't need to make the playoffs. Travis in a garage. I think that rubbed people the wrong way.
Well, there's no question. I mean, the whole goal of the season is to make the postseason. That's why you play every single game. And we haven't been there, and it doesn't feel like there's a push to get there.
Dave in Chesterfield, you're on 97.1.
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple of points about the Lions and the Red Wings.
Okay.
I guess I'll start with the Red Wings since that seems to be the hottest topic. I feel that Newsy Lalonde has totally lost control. I've been a season ticket holder since the 80s, and there's guys in my locker room, because I still play, that we don't even want to watch the game. No one wants to watch it. Every time if the Wings get called for a bad penalty, He doesn't even talk to the referees to try to get a makeup call. It's terrible. I just think that they need to set the tracks. And like you said, Boston's already firing people. This guy is got no personality, no passion. And for him to be the front page for the Red Wings, we got to get rid of him.
And what was your Lions thought?
Well, my Lions thought is this. I think Ben Johnson is an excellent coordinator. I got some ideas for him if he's listening. But first of all, I'm not sure why the Lions just don't pay him to be the same pay and keep him along, because I think we're on the verge of a dynasty. I know we haven't won our first Super Bowl, but I've already booked my tickets for New Orleans. I think that he's got to look at the long haul, and if it's money and it doesn't hurt the cap, this is a billion-dollar industry. Just pay them and keep them.
I think there's a lot of people, Dave, that would agree with you. Just hey, pay him what he wants to keep him as offensive coordinator. You started it off by saying you have a couple suggestions for Ben Johnson.
Let's hear them.
What would you suggest for Ben Johnson?
Well, one of the things is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen any plays where he utilizes both Montgomery and Gibbs on the same play. What would the defense do if they saw that play?
Now, Dave, are you talking like both in the backfield or one in the slot? Yeah. Diagram this for us. What do you got?
Yeah, both in the backfield. Let's start with that one first. Well, have you seen that yet? Have I missed it? I'm a Lions season ticket holder for 30 years. I don't think I've seen it, but correct me if I'm wrong. What would the defense do if they've seen both of those guys in the backfield?
Maybe a play here or a play there, but I don't think we've seen very much of
it,
John.
Not in the backfield, maybe on the field at the same time, but that's a busy dude. Didn't he say he was a
season ticket holder for the Wings
from the 80s and Lions?
Yeah, 30, 40 years, yeah.
It's a lot of Detroit sports.
It is a lot of Detroit sports. Gator, what's going on?
Hi, everybody. Sorry, Heather.
It's all right.
I move this microphone.
Throws her off
everything
over
shakes.
There.
Right. But she hates Charlie Brown, so what do you want to do? Yeah, it's
win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Where
take
are
your
parents?
Shots when you can.
Where are my parents?
No, the parents and Charlie Brown. Where are the parents? The whole town. Not a single parent other than a teacher.
Unsupervised.
Well, it's a story about kids. Charlie, you hear parents? Charlie Brown's mom. Or just the teacher.
Just the teacher. It's all we see. What the hell's going on in that neighborhood? I mean, those are all independent kids, like 5 years old. It's crazy.
Yeah. Is that a 2011 Tiger spring training zip? That is.
If that's what it says.
That's what it says. That's great.
One of the trips?
Fits better.
I was gonna say, that's when you guys would go down there for spring training, right?
Yeah. We did that a lot
those
of years
Lakeland
in a row,
shows, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. I'm all Scooble happy.
You know? Yeah. Who's
got
to
be happy about something other than the Lions, right?
Yeah. Right. Unanimous.
Yes. Again, you know, it's been like the third. Is it third time in a row?
Yeah, third time in the American League in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like four of the last five.
I like that. Like, let's not have any debate about this. You know, like we had with Manager of the Year, so people were a little salty about, you know, that Hinch only got one first place vote. And I understood why it went the way that it went. But Scooble, let's not have any controversy. Let's not give Classe a bone, you know?
No,
forget it. That's not happening. So we're happy about that.
What do you guys got coming up today?
Well, I mean, I imagine we're going to be talking a little bit about the Red Wings. It's Pavel Datsyuk night, right?
It is.
I mean, I feel like that kind of goes a little unnoticed, and let's not, because Pavel was one of the greats.
So much fun to watch.
So much fun to watch. Red Wings have made a slight little tinker with the lineup that we'll see if it yields results. I mean, people want to see the young guys play. Okay, well, you've had this young guy playing now for most of the season, Marco Kasper, and now you're giving him some real play. He's not relegated to third or fourth line.
But he's with Kane and DeBrincat?
He's with Kane and DeBrincat.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. And I like Kasper as a player because he's a little more hard-nosed than I think people expect him to be. I don't know if he's going to be a great scorer or not, but I'm curious to see how he's going to work with these two guys in the line, you know, because Kane's not known for his defense. DeBrincat's very streaky, but can these three guys play well together? Because if they can, then please, God, let's get something positive out of the Red Wings to talk about.
Please.
You know, Tarasenko going with the...
on the first line now, right?
Yeah. With Larkin and Raymond. I think that's interesting because they're trying to get him going.
They need to get
him
going.
In for a reason.
Yeah. He had to replace a lot of those goals they lost.
Yeah. Exactly. And so far, it's been very rough. It's not all on him,
no.
For sure. But it's This is pretty evenly dispersed throughout the team, the coaching staff, and the general manager. So they got to get things going, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And we've got football questions coming up at 10:30.
Skater, Carson Anderson, it's next, 97.1.